Amen, amen. So, some good worship this morning. Amen, church? Woo! Man, awesome. I just got to say, it is great to be with you this morning. It's been great. In the last few weeks, we've been in a series called Heartbeat, and because we believe that what is in our heart really matters to God, matters to us. And we started by looking at the reality that we all have a broken heart because of sin, and that we desperately need a Savior. And then a couple weeks ago, you had a good friend of mine, Pastor Rob, who came. And then last week, you had my buddy Rudy. So did you give Rudy some amens? Amen? Yeah? Yeah, you got to love that. Did you have fun with those guys? Good. It was just good, and it's good to have these friends, and we're working on just pastoring and ministering together, encouraging each other. They texted me this morning, and they just said, Newberry Park First Christian Church, we're praying for you, and we're praying for them as well, because we're all on the same team, amen? And I want to thank you for making them feel right at home and for treating them really well. They both said how much they loved being here, and I loved visiting and being at their church, but I got to tell you something, I love to be home, man, and it is great to be with you this morning. And so today, as we kind of have wrapped up that series, today's a special day, and I want to really share with you, as we've been talking about heartbeat, what is the heart of Newberry Park First Christian Church. So if you're visiting with us, it's a good morning to kind of just hear like who we are and then really challenge us this morning to continue to be the church that God calls us to be. The heartbeat of Newberry Park First Christian Church has always been to help people find and follow Jesus. Everything that we do is to help others find new life in Christ. And to grow in their relationship with Him, taking our directive from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, our purpose is to develop fully devoted followers of Christ who will seek and save the lost, because our God is worthy of that effort, isn't He? And so we've got a great heritage as a church as well. A few years ago, we got to celebrate our 50-year anniversary as a church, and this is year 54. And God's been doing incredible things. And today we stand on this firm foundation of faith that was established by the beginning, that set the direction for our church, that we would be a church that would seek and save the lost, that we knew that God wanted a church here in this community to meet the needs of this place. And so years ago, 54 years ago, a faithful group of people got together, and they decided to step out in faith. They went all in, and they purchased this property. So not only do we have a solid foundation of faith, we have a solid foundation under our feet. Yeah? And I get to say this every time. If you've never been to Next Steps and you've been here a long time, you need to come, because I get to share this amazing story. 54 years ago, you know, these people stepped out in faith. This property that we sit on, they paid a whopping $40,000 for it. Good investment, huh? You'd take that today, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, amazing. But even then, that was a huge, huge leap of faith forward. And we are so glad that they did, and so glad that they stepped out in faith, because this has continued to be a place where people find and follow Jesus. Many of you have come to this place, and you have found Jesus Christ and new life in Him here. Many of you have been here and have grown in your faith because of the ongoing ministry that's built on the foundation of these great saints who have gone before us. And we've been blessed. God blessed us with some amazing facilities. I got to tell you, having been away for a couple weeks, man, to come home, we are blessed, right? Everybody say blessed. Because, man, we are blessed. And God has placed us here, and to just walk out and look at the mountains and think, man, just where we've been planted, what an amazing, amazing gift that God has given to us. And, so we're here today because of those incredible blessings. And God has been blessing our church family. in incredible ways. Really, over the last couple of years, man, God has been doing amazing things. Not that he hasn't all along, but this last couple of years have just been wonderful. People are finding new life in Christ. They're learning what it means to be fully devoted followers of Christ. I'm currently getting to lead one of our Rooted groups. And if you haven't been to Rooted, man, you got to go to Rooted. But we're in Rooted right now, and I'm watching as God is shaping the lives of individuals and how they are recognizing their call to be fully devoted followers of Christ. And I'm watching what God is doing as they're making decisions to give their lives completely over to Christ. And it is thrilling to see that. I mean, our children's ministry. I don't know, how many of you got kids in our children's ministry program? Yeah, a lot of you. Man, our children's ministry is just thriving. I loved it. A few years ago, we gave them the whole bottom floor of the Family Life Center. And it's just thriving and great things are happening. I mean, every Wednesday night, you come down here and there's kids literally everywhere, and you gotta love it, and it's just amazing to me to see what God is doing in there. And Crystal tells me that on our Wednesday night program, at least a third of the kids that are coming aren't even from families that are connected to our church. So it is an incredible, incredible outreach, and it's exciting, isn't it, to see that? I mean, I just love going down and watching. If you're ever down there and you get to sit by the memory verse table, oh my gosh, it'll just like, I don't know what it does. It just makes your heart beat faster, right? To see all these children reciting God's word. God's blessed our church, and then we've been able to be a blessing over the last 20 years. We have been able to give more than $2.5 million to missions. Is that amazing or what? I mean, $2.5 million. I mean, countless thousands of people have come to know Jesus through the faithful giving of this church family. TCMI, the ministry, some of you know it as House Edelweiss. We were able to, several years back, we were able to help them to get a library that they needed for their accreditation so they could actually be accredited. And this small church family at the time said, you know, if God blesses us, we'll give. And God blessed, and we gave. And they were able to build this library, and they got their accreditation. And now pastors from countries all over the former Soviet Union area, the all the stands, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, all the stands, people are coming, and from Belarus and Moldova and Siberia and everything, and Pastor Jim's going to Siberia at times to go teach over there, and pastors are coming and being trained, and countless hundreds of thousands of lives are being touched because of the generosity of this church family that has made that possible. Down just across the border, you know, and we hear a lot about the border these days and lots of crazy things happening. But, you know, just across the border, there's this amazing orphanage, Niños de Baja, that we're connected with, that one of the former pastors of our church actually went down and started, and we've been just constantly working with them. And, in fact, all of their current build, I think almost all of their current buildings, we have either built or had a hand in renovating, which has been amazing. And now it's homes to all these children who are in need and who are learning and meeting Jesus Christ. And that is an amazing, amazing thing. Then we have these partners. One of them I wanted to let you know, I've talked about these guys a lot lately because I'm so excited about them. In Liberia, West Africa, where I kind of had my heart thing I shared with you a couple weeks ago. Partnering with Whitefields Ministry, Pastor Stephen Enoch and his wife opened up an orphanage to take in refugees from a civil war that was happening there. They had a church on their site, and then Pastor Stephen was moved by God to take, he just felt God saying, Stephen, you're going to take the gospel to the rest of Liberia. So we bought him a van. See that little van over there on the corner? And so we bought him a van, and he's doing it. I mean, he's not just like, okay, yeah, it's nice, he's driving out. I got his last report, just this last month's report from him says this. It said that he went out into all these different provinces in the area in Liberia, and 808 people accepted Christ and were baptized. I mean, is that amazing? That's amazing stuff going on. But not only around the world, but here in our own community, we as a church have been making a difference. I'm so excited about next week. I love Serve Day. If you haven't already, sign up, be here. It's going to be great because we will mobilize the church to get outside of our walls to go and to serve our community and to serve our neighbors. And it changes lives. It changes lives of the people we serve. It changes our lives as we serve and love on our neighbors. And over the last couple of years, 4 years, we've done over 250 work projects just in our community alone. I mean, everything from helping change batteries for some elderly people in their trailers to building handicap ramps and all kinds of stuff. It's just been amazing to see what God has done. I mean, full home renovations have happened on our serve days, and God has been amazingly good to us. And so around the world and right here in our community, Newbury Park First Christian Church has continued to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so maybe if you're a visitor here this morning, all I can say is this is the kind of church that you're sitting in this morning. If you've been checking us out, this is the kind of church that we continue to desire to be, a church that doesn't just kind of gather and sit and think, okay, you know, it's a church on the move. It's a church that God is blessing and great things are happening. And for those of you who've been here for a long time and who've been serving, man, just thank you for allowing God to use you. However, there's still work to be done. I mean, somebody in our world steps from this life into eternity every 1.75 seconds. That's 105 per minute. During the course of any given Sunday morning service, 6,316 people will step from this life into the next. And most of those people will do so without Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that breaks the heart of God. And conservatively, there's at least 75,000 people in the Kaneo Valley who are unreached by the gospel, who have not made Jesus Lord of their lives. And God's heart beats and breaks for them, and so does ours as a church. Our heart as a church is to reach those people. And so God is calling us to press on in faith. He's been doing great things, and he's calling us to continue to press on and to reach our community with the message of Jesus Christ and preparing the way for future generations of believers who will follow after us. And one of my favorite passages of Scripture is found in Philippians 3, 12 to 14. It says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of this, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Church, we must continue to press on. I learned a bit about pressing on yesterday. I ran and completed my first 5K yesterday. So yeah, it was amazing. And I'm still walking. and I was like, man, my knees and my joint, I feel better than I have in months. And I was just like, it was just amazing. And there's all these points along the way where you're just thinking, okay, that was enough. That's enough, right? Or you know, you could just walk down. No, you got to push on. And any worthy goal, it's going to take hard work. And so it was just exciting. And we have a group of people. There's several in the church. How many of you ran yesterday? Just raise your hands. See how these people who ran? It was awesome. And we had six of our people who meddled. It was just great. And so to Kathy and Evan, thank you guys. Thank you, Evan, for running next to me for that last mile, man. It was awesome. He completed it and then came back and ran with me. So that's the kind of great people we have in our church. So, but as we press, I wanted us to take a look this morning at an incredible story in God's Word. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles 24. If you don't have one, they're always in the back, or you can look on the screen. But I want this passage of Scripture to just drive into us this morning because it's an amazing story of something that happened long, long ago, but this ancient story still has some incredible truth for us today. In 2 Chronicles 24, it starts out and it says this. It says, "Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. I mean, can you, 7 years old, I mean, who lets that happen, right? I mean, think about this for a minute. I mean, now Joash, his father was King Ahaziah. He was one of the really bad kings of Israel. In fact, he actually, his father was only 22 years old when he became king. Again, that just sounds nuts. And he was so bad, and he only ruled for 1 year, that they didn't even let him be buried where all the other kings were buried. Okay, you go back and read the stories. It's kind of crazy. And these guys just did crazy things. But his son, Joash, when he was born and his father was killed, he was hidden because someone was trying to take the lives of all of the sons, because that's kind of how you took control in those days. And so Joash was taken and he was hidden. When he was 1 year old, he was taken by an ant and he was hidden. And here's how bad things were. They thought, where will they never look for him? Where will the current king, where will they never go? Where will the mother-in-law that's trying to kill everybody, where will she not set a foot? Where will they not find her or find him? And so they hid him in the temple, right? They thought, oh, she'll never go there. So they hid him out in the temple. And so he grows up, so the temple guards were told, you know, have swords ready and protect this guy, because, you know, he's our king. And then at 7 years old, this guy's a second grader, for crying out loud, right? How many of you got a second grader? Yeah, a second grader is now, they bring the second grader out, and they're like, all right, here's our king. And the people go, long live the king, right? And you're thinking, ooh, this is not going to work, right? This isn't going to turn out well. Well, we find something incredible out about this whole situation in verse 2. It says, and Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. See, unlike his father, Joash is one of the good kings. This was very rare for the nation of Israel and Judah. This kingdom was split. But he was a good king, and it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But check this out. All the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada was one of the guys that took him and hid him out in the temple and protected him and prepared him and taught him so that he could become king. You see, he couldn't have done it without Jehoiada, who was preparing the way for him, who was protecting him, and who was training and mentoring him to move forward. And so Jehoiada prepared the way for him. And folks, today, preparing the next generation for leadership is absolutely crucial for us. It's at the heart of who we are as a church. It is so vital. As a church, we have always believed that our young people are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church today, or there won't be a church tomorrow. And we have to believe that. And the church is always, you know, you've maybe heard this before, the church is always one generation away from extinction if we don't pass on the faith. And pass on not just the faith, but leadership. And so I stand before you today as living proof that God can take a crazy, hyperactive junior high kid that always got kicked out of Sunday school. And if people will mentor and pour in to them, that God can do something in their lives. And I believe that young people, they matter. But so do the people that mentor them and who give the time for that. So, all right, so I don't get more emotional. Back to the story. So young Joash is a king, and things are going well. Why? Because he's a good king. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and things were going well. It was a time of revival for Judah, but there were some things that still needed to be done. You see, what had happened is the temple had fallen on disrepair, and in verse 4, it says, sometime later, Joash decided to restore the temple of the Lord. The temple was in need of all kinds of repairs, and he had a heart for it. Obviously, he grew up there. And folks, just like he noticed, and just like we are called today, we are called to be stewards of God's house. This is huge for us, to make sure that we are stewards of everything that God's given us. And has God blessed us or what with our amazing facilities? And God has called us to use those to the best of our ability. I love it because our place is full so many days of the week, and God is doing great things here on our campus. And then in 2 Chronicles 24:5 it says, so he called together the priests and Levites, said to them, go into the towns of Judah and collect the money due annually for Israel to repair the temple of God. Do it now, he said. Okay, he says, do it now. But then it says, but the Levites did not act quickly. Okay, they didn't act quickly. They just, some of your Bibles say, you know, they didn't act, you know, immediately, or, you know, they didn't act. In fact, if you go, the same story is in 2 Kings chapter 12. You find out that it took them 23 years to do anything, right? So the temple continues to fall apart. And because the temple was in disrepair, the people were still going and they were making sacrifices to other gods on the hills because they were like, well, let's go and worship over there. And the temple was in disrepair. So what did the king do? So it says this, at the king's command, a chest was made and placed outside the gate of the temple of the Lord. And a proclamation was issued to Judah and Jerusalem that they should bring to the Lord the tax that Moses, servant of God, required of Israel in the wilderness. And all the officials and all the people brought their contributions gladly, dropping them into the chest until it was full. And whenever the chest was brought by the Levites to the king's officials, they saw that there was a large amount of money, and the royal secretary and the officer of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and carry it back to the place, and they did this regularly, and they collected a great sum of money. So the question this morning is, what does this story have to do with us? Like in the time of Joash, there's great things happening. Good things are happening. Good things are happening here at home in our church. But we have some repairs that need to be done, and we need to do some things to steward well God's house. And so this morning, I just want to lay out for you some of the needs that we have. First of all, we've had several people who've been saying things like, the lines in our parking lot, I can't see them anymore, so people are parking all crazy. Anybody have a problem with that? Yeah? So yeah, that's one. So then, see this? That this big beam up here, made of wood. A few years back, we discovered we have a termite issue. So yeah, can you believe that? So, and imagine, some of you know, I mean, you've had to do this at home. So we have to do the fumigation thing. We will get on our building what my daughter affectionately calls the tent of shame. You know, so we're doing that. And then in the recent rains, we had some roof things. So, but here's the good news is we recognize a lot of those needs, and you'll be seeing those things taken care of very soon. But there's more. There's even more to be done. Our current infrastructure here in this particular building, our lighting, sound, and video systems are 25 years old. Some of you come in here and you're like, this is a great building. And it's 25 years old. It's about 25 years old. It will be this next year. And despite being properly maintained and frequently repaired, our audios and video and lighting infrastructure and systems here in the building are in desperate need of being replaced. We come in on Sunday mornings, we never know which lights are going to be off and which breakers we have to fix and all kinds of things. People have to run to other rooms to fix some of those things. And so we can't just Band-Aid them anymore. Our guys have been doing amazing work just kind of keeping things together. But we can't kind of do the duct tape and baling wire and, you know, Band-Aid thing any longer. Lighting. Many of you have noticed flickering lights. We actually have had a couple people say they've gotten headaches because some of the lights on the stage will start to flicker. You know, you might have thought that, oh, that must be a special effect. It's not. The light controlling system, which is all done by computer and stuff like that, it's failing. I mean, it's about shot. It's on life support. In fact, I thought I would get, because some people like visuals, I thought I would show you this morning. This is, we pulled this out of the room this morning, and miraculously the lights stayed on. I don't know if anybody has seen one of these in a while. Does anyone even know if Packard Bell's still in business? So, and you're like, why didn't you get a new one, right? Why didn't you get a new one to like make this work? How many of you even, does your computers you're using today even take DVDs or discs? Anybody? Yeah, mine doesn't use those anymore. I got a disc. I was like, where do I put it in? And it doesn't, right? So it doesn't do that. And then, how many of you have seen one of these bad boys in a while? Okay. So you ask, like, well, why do we keep this thing around? Well, we keep this thing around because the last known update for our lighting system is on one of these babies, right? And so that, you know, that kind of just tells you where some of that is at. I'm going to put this thing down here. But again, it's just, it's done great, but these things have gotten old. They've aged on us, and now they're starting to fail. Our sound system on two of our past major holidays, on an Easter and a Christmas, our sound system, the amps and things that are kind of, a lot of this stuff you don't see. That's why it's hard to kind of give you a picture of it. The amps in the back and things like that, literally it crashed during greeting time on an Easter Sunday morning. If you want to ever watch, like, Devin and our team panic, it's just like, what, you know? But our guys have done an amazing job kind of helping, you know, mitigate some of those issues. And they actually, a lot of people didn't recognize it, they set up a portable system on an Easter Sunday morning and kind of made it work, but it just wasn't what we needed for that morning. Many of you have commented to us that some of the sound in the room is either muddled. Some of you have even said painful at times. Part of it is we affectionately call them splash zones. If you sit in certain areas, the sound is like super loud, and if you sound in other areas, the sound is like not very good at all. If you sit in the back over there on either side, what happens is because of this room, the sound will shoot past you, hit the back wall, and it'll hit you twice. Okay, so if you think it's muddled, again, not an effect. Okay, it's just something that because what many of you, because you probably weren't here when we had these, what many of you don't know is right in front of the doors, the side exits, there used to be walls in there. And as a church grew, we took the walls out. The sound system that we have was not designed for the room as it sits. It was designed for a room with walls in it. And so now it's, but beyond that, it's just gotten old. And the speakers are breaking down. We've had to have certain things fixed multiple times. And it's just not working. With video, video stuff, we have had aging equipment. Every once in a while, one of these projectors will just shut down. And it, again, it makes us crazy because we want you to engage. People have said, oh, they're hard to see. And I was like, so we have to work really hard on the colors that we use and things to make them visible. And there's things like in our cry room, the video signal is just horrible, and we want to do that. And we've had multiple people tell us over and over again that they want us to live stream and stuff like that. And we're just like, well, we don't have the capability or capacity at this point to do that. We would love to, but it's just not something we could do. So, you know, these are things that we need to repair. And why do we need to do that? Well, quite honestly, we need to do that because we want to continue to do what we've always done, and that's reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to continue to be a family. Family is so important to us. Not just that we love your family, we believe we are a family. We believe that we're the family of God, and it's always, we've always been a multi-generational church, a church where we love people no matter where they're at, and they're welcome to come in, and they can call this place home. And that's why we have a big sign out there that says, welcome home, because no matter what's going on, no matter what your age or what you're going through or what's happening in your life, we want you to feel like you are at home here and that you can be part of the family, especially the family of God. We believe that we want to be a church filled with passion. We don't want to just survive or get by. We want to thrive. And we believe that God is worthy of our very best efforts, and we want to do everything that we can with passion. We believe we're responsible to be relevant. We need to be responsible stewards of the message of Jesus Christ, and to do the best we can to communicate the gospel to culture in ways that are relevant. And to be honest, today, the language of our culture is technology, and ours isn't doing so good. And so we need to present things, and we need to upgrade some things so that, we can do present things in the best, clearest way possible. Longevity. We can't continue, like I said, to just keep putting Band-Aids on our system. It's gotten to that point where it's just, it's lasted well beyond what was expected. We put good things in when they were put in, but they're failing us now. And so we want to put some equipment in that, you know, that will last, that will be good, because we believe that will be a gift for the next generation, that the next generations can continue, because we've been living on the gift of the generation before us. And so we want to put equipment in there that they can use as things change. One of the most important things is we believe that we need to, that our message needs to be clear. Whether it's through music, video, preaching, we want the message to be clear to people. We don't want any distractions for that. In Colossians 4:4, Paul says, "Pray for me that I may proclaim the gospel clearly as I should." The gospel needs to be presented with clarity. And yes, that means that the right message, and we present it correctly and truthfully and clearly, but also it just means we want to get rid of any distractions that are there. And there's some of you already that at times get distracted because of some of these issues that we've been having. And I know our tech teams and stuff, they do, and they work hard to make things work for us, but we're kind of past that point, and we need some things to be changed. And then we want to reach more and more people for the sake of Jesus Christ. Like I said, people have been asking us to live stream, and we're like, well, we would love to be able to do things like that. We have more and more families with children who are coming, which is so exciting. But like our cry room and different places, we want to be able to do video. We just can't right now because the infrastructure is just not there for it. And so we're hoping that we can have better equipment to do some of those things so that more and more people can hear. And so whether it's around the campus or even around the world, I had Pastor Jose, who preached here not too long ago, who told me that during the weeks, he'll listen to our sermons and translate them. And I'm just like, man, that's amazing that technology is even there. We want to be clear and reach as far as possible. But with all of this stuff that we need to do, there's a big bottom line, too. And this is the part, you know, it's always not easy to say or not easy to ask, but the entire cost that we're looking at for this whole system is about $670,000. So it's not just like a light you can screw in like at your house. The good news is when we started this process a few years ago, so we've been working on this for a few years, we started setting aside some funds and things like that. And so this savings, along with a few generous donations, we've already saved up about $100,000 towards this, which is great. But our current need is about $570,000. And I also want you to know that our staff and our elders, our leadership team, we got together in this room last night and we prayed. And we've had, I think, almost everybody has given because they are committed to seeing this project through, because we believe we need to do this now for the next generations. It's never easy to get up in front of everybody and ask. But the reality is I believe in this because I believe in the mission of our church and what we need to do to move forward. So our leadership feels strongly also, because there will be lots of questions, that we shouldn't incur any debt. Because we're right now, we're on track to pay off our mortgage in 6 years, which will be, that is amazing. That is amazing. I mean, we'll be one of very few churches in our area that have property like we have and have it paid off. And what a gift that's going to be to the next generation. So we're going to do, our plan is, how are we going to do this? Our plan is to do what the people in Joash's time did, okay? So what we're doing is we're basically asking you to prayerfully consider donating a special gift that's beyond your regular giving to this project. And on Wednesday, May 15th, a Wednesday night, we're going to have a night of worship, giving, and celebration. and we're going to come together. And so we're telling you this now because we want you to think about it, pray about it, ask the Lord. We don't want you to make any decisions. We don't want you to, you know, get crazy about the numbers right now. We just want you to pray and just ask God what you might do, because we want to do what they did back in the day of Joash. In 2 Chronicles, remember, it says that the king had a chest made, and I think we have one. We got one of these here. We actually, if you remember Pastor Rob had this, and we borrowed it. So we have this chest here, right? And it said that they put the chest out, and then the people came, and they gave their gifts, and it said that they gave. And so how did they give? Well, in 2 Chronicles 24:10, it says, all the officials and all the people brought their contributions gladly, dropping them into the chest until it was full. Okay, so the people gave, and first of all, they gave collectively. Do you see, it says, all the officials and all the people brought their contributions. So it's going to take all of us. Not one person's going to make all this happen. We realize that. So every gift matters. Some of you, God will move your heart to give, you know, $25. Some of you, it'll be 50. Some 1,000, some 10,000. There's a few who could probably do 25 or 50,000. We don't know. That's whatever God moves on the hearts of people. When we think about it, though, what is the price that we will pay to reach the lost people for Jesus? What's the price that we will use to help prepare the next generation to ensure that they have the resources to continue pressing on? So we want to give collectively. One of the things we used when we were building our buildings was this term, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Okay, not everybody can give a lot, but some people can give something. And we believe everybody can give something to make this happen. So we need to give collectively. We need to give gladly. It says there that they brought their contributions gladly, dropping them into the chest. And I'll just be bold and say this. If you can't do it gladly, don't do it at all. Because God's word says each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, which makes getting up here and preaching this hard, because we don't want you to be under compulsion, because it says God loves a cheerful giver. And if he's blessed you and you want to become a blessing to not just our church, but to generations after us and to people who will come to know Christ, then that's what this is about. And again, we remind you, we want you to give gladly, and it needs to be above your regular giving. It doesn't help us if everyone says, well, I'll just take my regular giving and drop it into the chest. That doesn't help for us. Jimmy's on the move. So, all right, Jimmy. So, okay, Jim. And so we want to give collectively, we want to give gladly, we want to give abundantly. It says they filled the chest, okay? They brought their gifts gladly, and they filled until the chest was full. And they filled it more than once. If you go on and you read verse 11, it says, whenever the chest was brought in by the Levites to the king's officials, they saw that a large amount of money, and the royal secretary and officers of the chief priests should come and empty the chest and carry it back to its place. They did this regularly and collected a great amount of money. Are you taking money out now or what? So just checking on you. So, got to keep my eye on my buddy here. Okay. Thanks, Jim. So, our leadership has been, thank you.
Twice.
Okay. All right. Well, you can do it. Thanks, Jimmy. Our leadership, I just want you to know this morning. Our leadership's been working on this in some ways for up to 5 years now. The last two, we've really been working through it, seeking wise counsel, getting lots of things, people coming in looking at things. And we believe that we've done the due diligence we need to do, and now it's just time to make it happen. We realize, we anticipate that you'll have lots of questions about this. We did. So we anticipate you will too. So we have a website, just mpfcc.org/press-on. There's a photo of the page. Not that that matters. Just go to the website. And it has tons of information. Tons of information. In fact, before you even just start asking questions, we want you to go and read what's on the website, because there is a lot of information. So please go and look at that. A lot of work has gone into doing that. And I think, Devin, for a lot of the work that to make that look good and to get the right information on there, there's budget things and there's all kinds of stuff. If you want to find it, it's probably there. And if not, starting on April 14th, next week's serve day, but the following week, we'll have elders, some of our elders of the church who will be down in room F11 after every service to answer questions that you might have. This morning we have an information sheet that looks like this, and actually a commitment card that looks like this that we want to give all of you as you leave. And we don't want you to just make any kind of decision today. We don't want you to say, I don't want anything to do, or hey, I'm going to. We want you to go home and pray, because we believe that this is something God needs to move in our hearts with. And so we're asking you to look at the website, to pray, then decide how you will give, what amount you will give, again, above what you would do regularly, and then join us on May 15th, because this is going to be a huge celebration. I mean, it's going to be amazing. So no matter what you can do, we want you here on May 15th to celebrate with us. And I kind of just want to end with a little bit of a personal story. In 1888... it's in this history book that I have here. There's a story. There was a guy named John Elliott. And John Elliott was heading west with his family in their covered wagon. And they got to the Dakota Territory, where they were told by scouts that they needed to hurry and move everyone to a nearby fort because of an uprising with some of the Native Americans that were there. But John's wagon wheel was broken. The scouts told him, leave that stuff behind and just get to safety. But John decided, he chose to stay and fix the wagon wheel. The next morning, when they woke up, their family woke up after sleeping under the wagon for the night, they discovered that everyone who had gone to the fort had been killed. And as I remembered that story, I remember that the decisions that we make will absolutely impact generations that might follow us. The fact that they stopped to fix what was broken not only saved their lives, it saved their entire legacy. And if it were not for that decision to stay and to fix what was broken at that moment, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because John Elliott was my great-great-grandfather. And if it were not for that decision, the decision of a small group of people just over 50 years ago to step out in faith, we wouldn't be sitting in this building today either. We wouldn't be here worshiping. If it wasn't for the decisions of people who gave generously to give us these facilities, we wouldn't be worshiping the way that we can today. And so the question that always bounces around in my head is, if we don't continue to be good stewards, if we don't press forward, if we don't press on and fix what is broken, then which lives will not be touched? Which lives won't be saved? See, pressing on to faith today, fixing what's broken, being faithful stewards of God's resource and what He's blessed us with, will help us not just have a nice place, it will help us change the future. It will help us change lives for eternity. See, the hope of new MPFCC is to raise up and resource the next generation to reach the world for Jesus. We want them to keep going after us. And as we do every week, we're going to close our service with communion. God has given us His very, very best. Our lives have been saved. Our souls have been saved. And our lives forever changed because of the gift that He has given to us. He deserves our best. He deserves us to serve Him with passion. He deserves the best that we have. And so we want to be people who give. So we don't want you to dwell on figures or dwell on equipment. We want you to dwell on the Savior and the lives that can be saved if we continue to press on and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with passion, with fervor, with excellence, with clarity. And we want to reach the generations for the cause of Jesus Christ. Is that what you want to do this morning, church? And we pray that you will pray and that God will move you. And this morning as you take communion, thank him. Thank him, praise him for what he's done, and begin to ask him what he wants you to do. And so make sure that you grab those information things as you head out. But before we do that, we're just going to spend some time and ask the Lord to move us and ask the Lord to use us, because he has saved us and he saved us for a purpose. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the indescribable gift of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all those who have gone before us. Father, we thank you for the people of faith who stepped out and made things possible for us to be here today. Father, we pray that we would be those people in this time and in this generation. And Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus, because none of this is possible and none of this makes any sense without him. So, Father, thank you for the incredible gift that saved our souls through the grace and the sacrifice that you made through your Son. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and want to honor you with all that we do in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.